Good morning and a very warm welcome to Whitley Bay Baptist Church's weekly service. Today is a massive day for the world of sport. England are in the final of the Euros football tournament and it's the men's tennis final at Wimbledon. So we're going to spend a bit of time hearing from some of the sporty members of our congregation about what sport means to them and their relationship with God. Alan will be bringing us the prayers and explaining about the joys of riding his bike. Paul will be doing some Bible readings and talking about why running brings him closer to God. And we'll be hearing from Beth, who works as a sports coach and mentor with Kick London, a Christian organisation which uses sport as a means of telling young people about the message of God's love for them. And a bit later on, John will be bringing us a football-themed sermon ahead of the finals tonight. Oh my goodness, I'm exhausted and I haven't even done any sport. Well, let's begin our service with these words of praise from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And so, Alan is going to tell us about why getting out on two wheels means so much to him.
I've been asked to say a little bit about what riding a bike means to me. Let's start with a few inspirational quotes. There are many more. Please look them up and get inspired. I don't ride a bike to add days to my life. I ride a bike to add life to my days. That one was unknown. Whenever I see an adult on a bicycle, I have hope for the human race. That's from H.G. Wells. You never have the wind with you, either it's against you or you're having a good day. That's from Daniel Behrman. It never gets easier, you just get faster. From Greg LeMond. Now, riding a bike can be many things. A bike can be a plaything for any age. We have a tandem and use it for sociable meanderings or longer distance challenges for us two pensioners. When you teach a small child to ride a two-wheeled bike, there is a great sense of achievement on both sides when they first succeed. Then you may be expected to run alongside them, then pedal alongside them when they get a bit older and faster. A bike can be used to go messages or shopping. A bike can be used for pleasure, depending on how much pain you enjoy. Before I retired, I used to commute on my bike. I managed to get a good number of others that I worked with who hadn't ridden a bike since they were kids, interested in cycling. Even if the bike is used to commute one day a week, it's a good way to burn a few calories, save a few pennies in fuel, save a bit of wear on other transport options and on the roads, and save a few grams of pollution products. A bike can also be used for longer distance challenges. Some of the people I worked with, most or all who have never done great distances on a bike for years, if ever, used to do an annual sponsored bike ride for a charity we selected each year. The rides were generally based on a variation of coast to coast, from one side of the country to the other. We also used to get suppliers involved. Some of their guys would come along and raise funds for the charity and build good memories and develop contacts for future projects. Our company management used to encourage the team building and even give us part of the time off to take part because they thought it was so beneficial. I think the most challenging ride that we did was when I suggested we did a ride that included a ride across the bridge to the Isle of Skye. So we started at Montrose on the east coast of Scotland and pedalled over the Cairngorm Mountains to arrive at the Isle of Lacalsh and the Bridge of Skye, about 200 miles, including map reading errors and some carrying of bikes and fording a river carrying bikes above our heads. This was done in 3 days, and then we had a day to travel home. A bike is also a good means of competing with others. There are many cycling clubs around the country who hold every variation of competition for every variation of bike, terrain, and distance imaginable. There are even opportunities for old blokes like me to appear in the same national results roundup as national and Olympic champions. Basically, a bike can be a good companion. It can be used by a single rider or in a group. It can be used every day, in all conditions, or put away for the winter and ridden in fair weather. It can be infectious, because the optimum number of bikes to own is N plus one, where N is the number of bikes owned now, so there's always a reason to need just one more. A sedate ride can become a race if you see another rider ahead. I like to call it mad dog syndrome. Just as a dog will chase a car and not know what to do when it catches it, a rider will chase another until he catches him, then not know what to do. Do I tag on behind and risk him not seeing me that I've caught him up, or do I go past and then have to keep pedaling hard to avoid him coming past me again? At the start, I said, let's start with a few inspirational quotes. There are many more. Please look them up and get inspired to get out on a bike. Thank you.
Like eagles. Hello everyone, here are today's Bible readings. Philippians 3 verses 14 to 16. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So here we are on Whitley Bay Beach, one of the favourite places that I come for a run. What do I like about running? Well, it gives me a sense of freedom, helps me to connect with God, helps me to connect with friends who I'm running with, helps me to keep my mental, physical and emotional health in a good state. I love to compete also in races, so I need to keep my body in a good shape to do that. Yeah. Here's the second reading now. Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter and pioneer of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you now to offer our praise and thanks for the blessings and opportunities you shower on us. We thank you for the creation you have provided for our enjoyment and care, and pray that we are able to resolve some of the mistakes that we have made in the past and continue to make today. We pray that our leaders will hear the concerns of the scientists and those affected by our lack of care, and respond with love and provide the appropriate legislation, finance, manpower and resources to preserve and reverse some of our destruction. You have created a world which can provide sufficient for all of us if we are careful in our production, distribution and use, and don't allow greed to result in overstocking, unreasonable low prices for some providers, unreasonable high prices to some buyers, and waste and destruction to maintain prices. Father, we pray for national and international leaders, that they will have the ability and desire to negotiate peace and stability rather than allowing prejudice and fear to result in wars and unrest. We pray that there may be a will and a way to redirect weapons of war to tools for good. We pray for our nation, that the countries and regions may be better balanced in working together and respecting each other. We pray for our town, that the businesses and industries can flourish and attract more jobs and opportunities. Father, we pray that the churches are able to work together and make a difference and be such a blessing that your people can recognize the need to come back to you. God, we ask that you make the doors of your house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make the threshold smooth enough that it is not a stumbling block to children nor straying feet, but rugged enough to turn back the tempter's power. God, make the door of your house the gateway to your eternal kingdom. Amen. And now we pray for those who are mentioned in the bulletin. We pray for Joel and his family, Ozzy, that he will recover from his injuries, Tom, Kate, those affected by COVID, and school children about to change school. Amen. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
During lockdown, it's been great to hear about what's been happening in the lives of people in our church and how they've been serving God on their front lines. Many of you will know Beth, who's grown up in our church and now works with KIC London, an organisation which transforms young people's lives with God's love through sport and support. I caught up with Beth a few days ago and began by asking her exactly what she does with KIC London.
So the mission of KIC London is to transform young lives with God's love through sport and support. So how that looks on a day-to-day basis is I'm in two different schools in London. One of those schools I'm coaching, involved in PE lessons, after school clubs and all that kind of thing. And then in my other school I'm mentoring, so I'm seeing young people one-to-one and kind of just walking through life with them as a support for them where they need it. And yeah.
So sport, I mean, I've known you since you were a very little girl. I feel really old now, but I have. And sport has always been something that you've been really passionate about. Tell me a little bit about your own sporting life. What sports do you like to play? And what are your favourite sports?
Yeah, so I was quite an energetic kid, as I'm sure most of you in the congregation can vouch for. And so one of my teachers at school recommended to me was to go and play football. So I think I was maybe in year three or four when I started to play for North Shields. And it was kind of, yeah, like my outlet. And yeah, always loved loads of different sports. And then when I went into middle school, I started training at the athletics track, doing lots of sprinting, so that kind of became like the one I trained in most, but still played football. And so yeah, until I left home, I was training a lot, competing a lot, playing football. And yeah, it was a way that I obviously found community. It was a way for me to have an outlet outside of school that wasn't focused on academics. And yeah, it was definitely a massive, massive part of my life.
And is it still football? Is football still your favourite sport, or what other activities are you involved in?
Yeah, so I still play a bit of football, just a bit of five-a-side. Yeah, I'd say football was probably my favourite sport. I also play netball at the minute, so in a little netball team in Crystal Palace. And yeah.
That's great. Now, sport, you know, lots of people love it, they really enjoy it. You've talked about the importance of sport to you when you were a young person at school. How is sport a really good way to tell people, particularly young people, about God's love for them?
Yeah, so the way we try and do it at KIC is we focus all our sessions around a monthly value. So each month has a value that's the fruit of the spirit. So for example, the value this month is self-control. And so the way that we do that is, depending on the nature of the school and whether we can talk about Jesus or not, we can always talk about that value, because whether you're a Christian or not, you'd probably recognize that self-control is a valuable thing to practice and to have in your life. So schools see that as valuable. They see it as something that sets us apart from regular sporting companies. And yeah, so the way we do it is to say if I was in a Christian school, I was free to talk about Jesus. I can say, okay, so how does self-control look for me playing sport? How can I make sure that I'm using this in the game? And then let's look at how Jesus shows self-control. How does he talk about that in the Bible? And how can I use that to then influence my life? So I've got my self-control on the football pitch. I'm reading about the way Jesus teaches me about self-control in community and within the church. And then I bring those together for how that can benefit my life. And I think that people's true colours, true personalities come out on the sports field. And so if you can I guess it's like sometimes your biggest test.
So yeah, I'm not at all competitive. I'm not a competitive person at all. Oh no. Actually, once I get into any sort of field of sports, that's always like, I'm quite mild
exactly. Normally,
but like, get me out there. I'm just like, right, I'm going to win this, whether,
exactly.
I cheat or not. Actually, no, I never thought that would be wrong. So just sort of as we come to the end of our chat, and it really is lovely to catch up with you. And it's so great to hear about what our young people in church are doing. Give us three things that we can pray for in the coming weeks and months as lockdown continues to ease and you get to do more and more stuff with young people.
So I think the first thing is just openness for our young people, that we'd have opportunities to talk to them and to go that little bit deeper than just the regular coaching side. I would say another thing was relationships with the staff that we work with in schools. So the way Kick works is we're our company, but we're spread out into schools across London. And so the relationships that we have with teaching staff at our schools is really important and kind of monumental for our freedom in what we can do within those schools. And I would say the third thing is, just as our young people are coming out of lockdown and they're coming out of this little box of screen that they've been able to control and that they've been able to kind of make sure that they're the ones who get to control what people see. So now that they're coming back to school, they kind of are in this vulnerable phase where they just feel a bit naked. So I think prayer for our young people getting back to sport and getting their confidence back in that, and kind of finding their confidence through that with our help through power of the spirit. So yeah,
great. Well, I'm sure everyone watching will take those prayer requests on board. I'm going to pray for you briefly now, and then I'm going to let you go and get your sports kit on and get out there. It's a nice day. You should be out on the field, I think. But let's just pray for you, Beth, before you go. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard from Beth today. Thank you for her passion for her sport, both in her own life. And we thank you for the amazing way that she shares the love of God with young people through sport. We pray for Kick London as they are able to do more and more activities. And we pray for the logistics of that and all the members of the staff on that team. And Lord, we continue to pray for our young people. Coming out of lockdown is not easy for many of them. And Lord, I pray that you would give Beth and her team the real wisdom to use sport to make that a bit easier and more enjoyable for the young people that they come across. We lift Beth to you now. We thank you for her and pray that you will be with her in the coming weeks. Amen.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for your joy.
goal. All week we've been talking about football coming home. Then one night in Rome, we were strong. We had grown. I saw Luke Shaw crossing a ball, Harry scoring the goal, Raheem driving us forward, and Pickford saving. Oh yes, what an historic week we've had. And what else could be preached on this Sunday, the day that England are playing in their first tournament for 55 years? The Bible talks of football, we know that. The first team ever to be written about is in the Bible, references to the Queen of the South. There's also wolves and hearts. But you know, even Jesus played football as a child. His parents even missed the game. But we are told in Luke 24 that he was left back in Jerusalem. A bit of humour there, but it was Karl Barth who once advised preachers to read the Bible and the newspaper together. Maybe today it would be the Bible in one hand and the iPad in another. And his point was a principle of interpretation. God's story should always be related to the world's stories. This is the way in which the gospel remains relevant, but also definitive, as all the stories of the world are to be found encompassed in God's redeeming narrative. You know what? England footballers this week have had their own story of saving and unexpected victory. Much has been made of the journey of the manager, Gareth Southgate. A journey from penalty scapegoat in 1996, I remember it well, to masterminding many firsts for England, a 2018 World Cup shootout win. This year, a first knockout victory over Germany since 1966, and there's been others as well. Redemption has been a word that media have used for this story. And as the New Testament word for sin offers even richer parallels when translated missing the goal. And we are praying that Sunday, England don't miss the goal. And if any preacher this week was torn between what to choose about, the stories in the news, we'd have to choose the England team. And this is because it's much more than a narrative of individualized rescue and salvation. This is the stuff of classic evangelism. Preaching the tale of the England football team offers an opportunity to talk more deeply about what it means for the church for this country, what it means for the church in our community. Relating this story is God's story, is the stuff of mission. I don't know if you noticed, if you followed it, but more than once during this tournament, Gareth Southgate has urged his players to write their own stories. Now, on the face of it, that can look a lot like secular sports psychology, insisting that personal destiny is defined by nothing but individual effort. And this way of thinking seems to be opposite to everything that Christians live under God's sovereignty and grace that they believe. But Gareth Southgate's phrase, however, has had its greatest power in freeing a new generation of players from an inherited narrative of failure. For years, the institution that they represent and embody, the England football team, kept losing the same way, often on penalties, often coming short, often to Germany, often to Argentina. This time, however, the story was different. We knew how the players had been prepared for the task, knowing tactics, formations, and roles. We knew that they learnt the habits of penalty takers, although judging by Harry Kane's last night, he didn't quite get it first, second time he did. We learnt that they'd been told to play without fear, to express yourself. No longer that were they being defined by a singular strand of an institutional losing story. Instead, their personal histories were shaped by an England setup to gathering new and traditional wisdom and doing their best together. And also, if you have a look at the plaudits for Gareth Southgate's leadership, everyone has come about and saying this is the model of leadership that we expect in our country. He has set the standard. You know, if this still seems a bit far off from the language of the Christian church, then maybe we've forgotten what it means to be disciples. Discipleship involves training, preparation, the honing of habits. Some of the verses and the testimonies that we heard this morning is all about, you know, running the race, training, equipping, getting to the goal. That's, as you know, Paul gives analogies of the athlete in the Bible. things that we need to cling on to. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul points in this direction. And subsequent Christian history fills out the picture with the development of liturgy and traditions. But discipleship has always taken place in teams, what we call communities. God, in the image of the Trinity, is the ultimate example of team. And it continues throughout the Christian journey, so that the character of believer is formed for the time of trial whenever it comes. One of the things about last night's match, as I'm recording it this the day after, is people wanted to know how the team was going to respond in adversity, how they're going to respond to going behind, because that produces character. When we go through tough times, when we go through trials, persecutions, that produces character and we cling to God like never before. See, a narrative can also include losing. And that's been the narrative of the church for so many years in general. A narrative of losing, losing numbers, losing status. But it is God's story that we proclaim afresh for each generation, not the tales of woe. We don't want to talk about the church's failings. We want to talk about who God is, what God's like, and move that forward. We need to encourage ourselves as a church to nurture habits that free every disciple to write his or her own story as part of God's story. Such habits could include training for tasks that we might dread at other times, or we might fear about. Maybe sharing about God, maybe talking about God with our friends and family, talking about God in public. But you see, the wise preparation for these challenges is simple. It's consistent prayer, it's knowing the Bible, and it's being communion with other people. Our preparation, our habits, our training are these three things. I'll say again, consistent prayer, knowing the Bible, being in communion with others. A lot of people say about football, it's a simple game to be played simply. Do the simple things well. And in a way, that's our walk with God. Do the simple things well. Know the Bible. Be consistent in prayer. Have communion with other people. You see, as we form these habits of outward-looking tasks, it's worth recognising another lesson that the England story can teach the church. That is that we are seeking to spread the gospel, spread the good news in a country hungry for a new narrative, eager to belong to a bigger, more hopeful story. If this season has shown us anything, it's that people are desperate to live out their story together with others. It was St. Catherine of Siena that said, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set your world, you will set the world on fire. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." It's the idea that God has created us for a purpose, that each of us has a specific role to play, that we are first to seek God's intentions for our life. It says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you." Setting the world on fire is a beautiful way of describing the role of the Christian in today's world. And in the same sermon that Jesus talked about, he talked about his followers being the light of the world. "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 13. And you know what? We need to take this inspiration and relate it to God's redeeming narrative of love for the world. It's for every disciple to realise that there is an appetite out there for transforming stories. What I love about my job for Youth for Christ is I go up and down the country, virtually at the moment, not physically, but I hear about transforming stories, how God has encountered young people, or God has encountered youth leaders and transformed their lives, and they pass on that story. It's a privilege to hear. We've all got our own stories as well, written in freedom from the past and embracing a hope-filled future. Isn't that what we long for? A story that's written with freedom from the past and embrace a hope-filled future. You know what? Any manager sending out a team sends them out with aims and expectations. And Jesus was asked the question, what work would God have us to do? John 6, verse 29, he just said, "Believe in the one that he sent." So we know what our manager, our main manager, expects of us. Micah 6 verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. That's a vision. That's the expectation. That's God's plan. That's God's tactics for what is expecting us as a disciple. And you know what? At the end of a game, it's great to get a pat on the back from the manager, isn't it? But it should be our aim to hear those words from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know what? As a church, as Whitley Bay Baptist Church, we're entering a new season in many different levels. And you know what? It's not about us living on past glories. It's about knowing our role, knowing the goal, knowing the vision. It's about having, you know, embracing that new chapter. What are we going to be about? And it's focusing on the goal, not getting distracted. Surely we need to be a church that puts the right people in the right positions at the right time, performing roles with a common goal. And that goal will be our victory. That victory is to see others come to know Jesus. We're in uncharted waters. The new season, we don't know what it's going to look like. England are in uncharted waters. They've never been to a Euro final before. It's only the second tournament final they've been to. But they keep their eye on the prize. They've done the training. They listen to their manager and they move forward and they learn the lessons. And for us, we come together, we read the Bible, we consistently pray and we are in communion with each other, and they will move forward to the victory of seeing other people come to know Jesus. Amen.
Many thanks to everyone who's taken part in today's service, both in front of and behind the camera. And before we come to the end of our time together and move on to today's sporting events, let's finish with these words of blessing. Lord, we thank you for the sporting abilities and gifts you have blessed so many of our church with. We ask that you use sports as a way to glorify you and a means of telling others about your love for them. And bless us all as we seek to share God's love to those of us on our front lines. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.